Curious Minds asks the questions that might seem crazy, but when you look at the data, some things might not seem so crazy after all. For example, have aliens ever lived on Earth? Do you really want to know the answer? Crazy Curious Minds is not afraid to investigate the issues important to the survival of mankind, like extinction, aliens, world events, and the paranormal. Hosts Tony Tiora and Chad McKinney talk from locations on the opposite sides of the planet in search of the truth. Is the truth hiding in plain sight? Let's find out.
Welcome to Crazy Curious Minds for another fun episode here in pandemic America. I am here in still in San Diego on my way back to Japan, and I'm here with my co-host and partner, Chad McKinney. Welcome back, Chad.
Hey there. Thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's been a while, man, since we did a show. And it's been a little bit crazy here in the U.S. And today I want to, you know, we talked about this earlier. I want to focus more on science fiction on this show and stuff related to that. So I know you're working on your TV show. So you're probably not going to be joining a lot of the future episodes, but you may join now and again. And I wanted to thank you for being the co-host for these 12 or so episodes, you know, to get this thing off the ground. I really appreciate your support in this, Chad.
Oh, same here, man. I appreciate you too, Tony. I appreciate the invite. It's been a ton of fun. But I also appreciate you us kind of coming to the doing what we want with the show both ways, you know? Yeah. And you focusing more on your passion of science fiction, which is something that has been driving you for things you've done for years. I mean, pretty much your whole life. And then, you know, kind of give me the green light, like, all right, it's okay. Focus on that TV show a little more right now.
Well, I know. I mean, I feel bad because I know I've been taking up a lot of your time. I mean, all that editing and work that you've done and helping me out has just been instrumental. And I can see how busy you are. And, you know, we both know we got to focus on our key strengths. And so, you know, when we get a show, maybe that I need a little bit of more of your background, you know, if you got the time, I'd be happy to have you on the show. I'm looking forward to your TV show. As a matter of fact, I'm looking forward to getting on an episode. That would be kind of cool.
Man, that's got to happen. Like, that's got to happen for sure. I appreciate it.
So what's going up with your TV show? I'm just curious. What's the status of it?
Hopefully we should be filming next year. We're finishing up a couple different episodes and pilot stuff right now. And we should I can't give a date when we'll begin filming.
Do you have a name yet? Do you have a name yet for the show?
Yeah, but I got to keep it under wraps.
Like,
we already talked to. I know, man. Like, if it was up to me, just me, but I got like
a
good handful of people we're working with, and we're not supposed to really tell too many people yet. But it's a pretty fun name, though. I'll tell you that. You'll get a kick out of it when you hear it.
Can you give a little bit on this episode about what the show is going to be about? Can you at least talk a little bit about it? If not, you know, we'll jump into some other stuff. But I want to get into that movie that we reviewed. Anything about the show you want to talk about?
Well, it's going to be sketch comedy, but like a kind of mixture between Chappelle's Show, which I think is one of the greatest sketch comedies ever.
Right.
In Living Color, another one that's right up
I
there.
I love that show. Did you know that like Sal's, my ex-tenant's, you know, by the way, his roof blew off, out of his house recently, but now I don't want to get into that.
That's a conversation.
I don't want to get into it on the show. I don't want to get into this, but you know, his son, you know, well, they were like 90-mile-an-hour winds in Julian, but his son,
Jesus,
yeah, his son was on that show in Living Color years ago.
No, I had no idea on that. Yeah. I know he was in a few different Clint Eastwood movies and stuff too. I didn't know anything.
I don't know if he was in Clint Eastwood. That's different. But his son,
is it okay?
Yeah, but in any case, so your show's going to be like a comedy. I love it, man. I love it. You got a little comedy in your blood, you know.
I appreciate it. Thanks, man. Yeah. Well, I mean, when you look like this, you got to laugh at life, you know? So.
Well, yeah. I mean, especially when I heard about your escapades in Mexico with the drinking that water, which, you know, I don't think that was a smart. You should put that skit on your show. You're like, hey, let's drink some toilet water, right? And see what happens.
Jesus, man. I made it the entire time. the entire trip, no frowns whatsoever, no ice, no yellow or whatever you would say
in
Espanol. We're in a cenote the last day of the trip before we head out the next day in the cenote. And this little kid came out of nowhere. Our group's just getting ready to take a picture. This little kid came out of nowhere, like 2 feet from us, just popped up out of the water like a turtle. And like my mouth opened because he surprised the crap out of me. But as my mouth opened, a little tidal wave of cenote water went right in my mouth. I swallowed it.
Oh, man. Is that how you drank the water, dude?
I hear
that's where they dump all the sewer and shit. Man. Chad. So, needless to say, you were probably scrambling in America to buy toilet paper. And you're like, holy shit, we're out of toilet paper. Right? Is that what happened?
I could have used a bidet, man.
You should use that as a script on your show, man. You should do that as a script. And then you go into the store and you're like, what the fuck happened? There's no toilet paper in America anymore.
People have been drinking cenotes.
They've been drinking a lot more than that here, if you ask me, man. So I love the idea you told me yesterday, right? You know, by the way, I think I mentioned this to you, but I'll mention it to the listeners. You know, I think it's really fascinating. I mean, well, it's actually sad and fascinating with this, you know, COVID 1984 pandemic that's like, you know, going through the roof in California. I'm like, you know, I'm trying to fly out of California and I'm thinking like, oh my God, is it even going to happen? But, you know, it's kind of weird. I went down to took that COVID test, you know, for antibodies. And the lady, like, you know, they tell me, well, how long do you think you were sick? And I'm like, I mean, like, I don't know, like 6 or 7 or 8 months ago. Cause it's like February, March. Right. And they're like, well, it only lasts like 4 months. And I'm like, hey, I've been studying microbiology, man. They're like, what? And I'm like, that was a Japanese study that said that the antibodies last over 6 months. And the lady's like, well, waste your money if you want. And the other lady was like, the pharmacist, she looks over. She's like, no, he might be right. It doesn't hurt to take the test. And the lady at the counter, like, give me a little smirk. You know, she takes my debit card, right? And I come back, man, and I got like COVID antibodies. And I was thinking, you know, you know how I knew it was true? Because when you picked me up at the airport and I wasn't feeling that good, and then you tell me like 3 days later you almost died and like being sick was like the worst. And I said, you know what? I probably did have COVID.
Actually, what you said was, after what you said was, Mr. Patient Zero, what you told me in the conversation was, yeah, see, you can tell your family, your Uncle Tony gave you COVID. You're fucking welcome.
I didn't say that. I said you should thank me because now you have antibodies.
Yeah, you should thank me. That's what it was.
I didn't want to say that on the show because it sounds like kind of inconsiderate. Well, you're like, you know, but I mean, from a guy who drinks like toilet water, from a guy who drinks toilet water in Mexico, man, you're like the healthiest guy I know. And like, because you're always, but I felt bad after. I want on this show apologize because now, you know, I feel bad, man. I feel bad. But, you know, I feel even worse because I flew, man. I didn't know, you know, I was sick for a couple of days and then I was fine. I had no fever. But, you know, this is a tricky thing about COVID, man. You know, I had been sick about 3 days, 4 days before I flew. I was sick for like 2-3 days. The fever went away for like 2 days. And I thought I was fine. And I thought it was just a regular, like, you know, just a little bug. It wasn't really bad, you know. But then, like, and I wore a mask on the airplane because I was paranoid, as you know, during that time a little bit. But I wasn't, you know, everybody else was like, oh, it's no big deal. There's just a flu going around. You know, I come to the U.S. and, you know, Trump and everybody's like, oh, everything's fine, you know. And I mean, you know, I feel bad now because, you know, that's how people get sick, you know. I think you really
everything
do need
was
to
still open, though. Everything you didn't. You, I mean, you can't blame yourself on that. Like, I mean, we had stuff going on in China. I think they shut everything down by then. But
it was February.
It was still, yeah.
But the good thing is that, like, I don't think I got it. I mean, I could be wrong. Maybe I got it afterwards. But I really think that was the only time because I coughed for like a month. You told me you did too. So, so it was when we really didn't know. But I think people should, you know, like, you know, they should be careful because the older folks, you know, are the ones most likely going to die from this. And it shows that you really should quarantine, man. You know, what the countries are doing, it kind of sucks, you know? I mean, you can survive it, obviously, but it's a mess right now. But speaking, you know, of other messes, I wanted to check. Did you actually do your homework this time? I want to know. Did you watch that movie that I asked you to watch?
There is a movie.
Oh shit, Chad. No wonder this is the last show that, you know, you're going to be in science fiction, you know.
This is the real reason right here.
I watched the
movie, man, and
what'd you think?
I'm not going to lie to you. Like, so I kind of had to push myself to watch it just cuz I've been so busy, you know.
Right.
And then after watching it, like, I couldn't believe I would have almost gone the rest of my life and not watched it. It was that good. It was phenomenal.
The phenomenon, like, is phenomenal. That's the quote, yeah. Isn't it?
It was amazing, man. I was actually telling a friend about it last night after I watched it.
Really? Really? Yeah, and you wouldn't have watched it if it wasn't for me saying, you got to do your homework again. It's your last damn show, Chad. If you don't do your homework,
I wouldn't have, to be honest with you. Like, you know, I had to pay to watch it and everything. But
You didn't steal it, like, you know, most people your age, you didn't, like, go, you know, and, like, but no, you actually paid for a movie. When's the last time you did that?
Yeah, what year is it? 2020?
Oh shit. I paid for it twice. I should have bought the movie.
To be honest with you. Like, I thought about buying it after I watched it and rented it, even though it was that good.
Isn't it mind opening? You know, that movie. Yeah,
it is. It's mind opening. It was really well done. And then, like, the quality of people they had on it, and, like, not, you know, saying, like, there's a hierarchy of human life or nothing, but, like, people who were in the know, you know, or, like, people who had direct knowledge of that event that was going on, like, you know, government officials, military personnel. Well,
that's the deal. That's the deal. This one was not – usually these movies are written, like, and made for, like, people who are already in that same paradigm. You know, they could they could take, like, a box cap and throw it in the air and say, hey, look at the UFO. And be like, wow, we got another UFO sighting, you know?
Exactly.
And it could be, like, you know, some person, you know, like, who has no credibility, you know, walking on the street. And then you interview that person, you know, and he was high the night before, you know, and you take that as credible. But this – you know, they had Major Jesse Marcel, who is the chief intelligence officer for Roswell, you know, saying that he was told the lie at Roswell, that they found material that was light as like aluminum foil, lighter.
But
than
you couldn't break
foil.
It with the sledgehammer. Even.
Yeah.
That's tough. I mean, yeah.
Like, so what did you find the most compelling? Like, what really hit it for you? Give me a couple things on the movie that, like, really hit it for you.
Man. Well, you know, like, I mean, at the very, very most, I think at the very end, everything leading up to it, I think, is what built up for that.
Right.
Because, I mean, it's almost like, I mean, to the point where it's, like, in fucking disputable.
Well, people, yeah, I know that, but tell the end, because a lot of people probably, you know, listening to this are going to say, well, what the heck is the end? You know, so tell the listeners what the end is on this movie.
So I'll save you your $4.99. No, I'm just kidding. But, like, the ending, related to, the schoolyard over in Africa, I can't remember if it was South Africa or Zimbabwe or wherever it was.
Right.
There's these school children that actually had a telepathic experience with an alien outside of the ship. The alien stood there. They all drew the exact same picture of what the alien looked like.
Yeah.
They all drew the exact same. They all spoke of the exact same experience as they were children. And about the message that they all had received is they had opened themselves up to receiving this message about technology is not the answer. We're all welcome to be here, but we have to stop killing the planet. We have to take care of our environment. We're cutting down too many trees. We're polluting too much right now. We all have to come together and take care of the earth. And then what was phenomenal about that, I mean, it was really just, like, it was heartwarming. I could actually feel, like, tearing up even just, like, watching that, because I could feel, like, such authenticity and such realness and such urgency with the message.
Right.
This was filmed back. The media went crazy. They've got film.
But what they did, for people listening, was this was like 19 years, like 1994 or something. It was like, I don't know. I have to calculate the numbers, but it was, you know, it was like at least 20 years ago or so. And they had videos of the children and John Mack, who I mentioned before that we were going to talk about.
Saw that.
He actually interviewed them. You know, he's the, I think he's got a, I'm not sure.
Harvard what's scientist. I saw yeah, that in there yeah. when I was watching that. I did my John Mack homework too.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you did it all in one movie, right? And you only had to pay $4.99. You know?
So, yeah, well, I think along what you were saying then is what was phenomenal is now 20 years later, they actually brought him back and interviewed him. They also interviewed the head of the school who was just a teacher at the time, or not just a teacher. Teacher is the most valuable part of the school, but who and now the headmaster was like, I was told to lie. I didn't want to believe him. They were probably right. They probably saw that. She was asked to describe what happened in one sentence. Well, I think we had an alien encounter, and right. that was
yeah,
and it was just. I mean, like I said, it was. It was tugging at my heartstrings, man, because you could just feel the authenticity of the message and the urgency of the message. We have to stop killing this planet. We have to take care of each other.
So if this is true, right, like I've been like one of my goals and you know, for my writing, by the way, my book, The Rise of Aeon Noose, is on schedule to come out this month. So
nice. Where can we get it?
Well, you're going to be able to get it on Amazon. That's where I'm going to have it basically exclusively on Amazon. I'm going to get a Japanese version out probably within the next 3 to 4 months so people in Japan can read it in the native language. I'm going to have an Audible book done. It's not going to come out right away. Basically, the digital and soft cover will be out this month. And then within the next few months, there'll be an Audible version and there'll also be a Japanese version. The sequel to it.
Very cool.
Will be out should be out by June of next year. And I want to have, it's going to be a trilogy and I'm hoping to get the final book in the series done by next Christmas for the same kind of time of release. But in my second book related, you know, I mean, and I've been throwing this theme in there because I think this is important. I've seen this not just because of these UFO, you know, shows or these, you know, things about aliens and whatnot. I've always believed as a kid that, you know, that when technology advances into society quicker than the ethics and morality, that there's this like doomsday delta, I kind of call it, right? You know, you look at the triangle and you say, okay, when technology advances so much more than social ethics and morality and spirituality, that it's like giving a kid, you know, a vaporizing gun at like 3 years old. He's going to vaporize his family. He's going to vaporize. Yeah. And then he's going to say, what did I do? It's just like children. So
that's a good way to put it, man. Actually, yeah. That's a great way to put it.
So you don't want to give kids too big of guns, if you know what I mean. And if you noticed in that show, UFOs, the big thing, you know, I think why the military is like shitting their panties, you know, is that, you know, the UFOs were going, these unidentified aerial phenomenon or whatever you want to call them, were flying over missile silos
and the nuclear weapon missile
silos. Yeah. And did you notice that they actually turned on missiles to launch in like Russia? Did you see that?
I saw that. That was interesting. They disarmed every one in the United States to where they couldn't do nothing if they tried over 10 of them, like, or 100 of them, whatever it was. And then in Russia, they turned all of them on at once. Just to scare them and let them know, like, well, what they're really doing.
Well, here's the thing, right? Like, I think you have to look at like what evidence is and not what the governments are saying. But like, if you were an alien intelligence and you wanted to scare the piss out of like the two honchos, right? And you want to prove your technical and ability and your, you know, power and whatnot. And people are like, well, we got the nuclear missiles, man. You know, we got the ace in the card. We'll just launch our nukes. You know, they're not going to, you know, that's our biggest, baddest, you know, the big button, as Trump would say. You know, he's got the biggest button in the world. Right. But, you know, right. And then someone comes by and they're like, hey, Mr. President, this little ship came by and shut all our missiles down. You're like, what? And then we hear from Russia, from, you know, code communications that they turned the Russian missiles on and they can't shut them off. And you're like, what? So Russia will be able to launch it. And then they flip it the other way. They shut the Russians one off and they turn ours on, you know?
Right.
And then you come down for a meeting. You're like, okay, guys, you saw what we did. Do you want to talk? Because, you know, we, you know, you promise not to shoot at us, you know, when we come down. I mean, you could use that to really scare the piss out of somebody. I mean,
oh, yeah. I mean,
I'm not saying
they said those nuclear missiles were than the ones that were horribly launched on Hiroshima and Nagasaki during World War. They were, I want to say, 100 times fucking stronger than that.
Oh, there's probably there's more. There's 100 and it's 1,000 times stronger. We have, you know, we've got hydrogen bombs now, you know, and nuclear bombs. I mean, you know, we have bombs now that you take a regular fission bomb, a regular nuclear bomb is like the match to light the bomb.
Jeez.
So we use matches that are we use matches in these bombs in a sense that are bigger than the Hiroshima and Nagasaki just to start the bomb.
Jesus.
Oh,
holy crap.
Yeah, people, you should study this. So but let's put it this way. These toys are not really designed for mankind. But what I thought fascinating was that one little girl mentioned that the alien said that technology was causing a problem. Like, I don't know if she said we should get rid of technology. I don't think we should get rid of technology.
Right.
But the technology. So I think that, like, if you think about it, right, humanity, if these alien craft crashed, which I know and I'm sure that they have, the first thing that governments, we talked about this, are going to look at the technology, try to reverse engineer it to create weapons, right? So So maybe that's related to saying, like, you know, every time the government meets these guys, all they want is technology. They want to trade, they want the advanced technology so they can control other countries. And that is something that I get a feeling that these aliens, and they're not all one race in my opinion, are not too keen to be involved in. I mean, and the ones that would be, like, anybody's trading technology on Earth, are probably not the aliens you want to be dealing with, if you know what I mean. It means
right, exactly.
Right. And then The planet stuff I thought was fascinating. You know,
about saving the planet and how we can be here, but we just have to take care of her and everything else.
Yeah. I mean, like, are we not destroying the planet already? Like, this is like 20 years ago. And, you know, I mean, if you look at the fires like that they had in Australia with all the poor little, you know, koala bears being burnt to death and all the animals. I mean, and now
Amazon.
Yeah. And even now, you know, there were like minks, I think, in somewheres in Europe. And I don't know, I don't think it was Sweden, but it was one of the Norway or somebody. They're killing, putting to death like millions of these minks or animals. I think it was minks because of a new form of COVID, you know, this whole COVID thing, I know this is not an episode on COVID. It's about the phenomenon, but it's related, you know, the technology, you know, we have these labs that they got Wuhan lab, for example, and Fort Detrick and whatnot. They're all working on, you know, what they call gain of function, you know, technologies related to these coronaviruses. And what that really means is that they're looking at supposedly studying how they can make these viruses more transmissible. You know, and they were saying, well, if we know how it becomes more transmissible in the lab, then if it ever happens, we know how to defend against it. But then you're like, but wait a second. But if you're making these really dangerous transmissible viruses, are you sure that some military puke is not going to want to turn it into a weapon to kill other people and then make like their own antidote? And what happens if it escapes by accident, which might have happened like this time? You know,
well, there's air quotations on that accident.
Well, yeah. Well, the thing is, and so it's looking like the good thing is this virus overall is really not, it's more deadly for a strange reason. It's not more deadly in the sense than most other, you know, coronaviruses and flus that get out.
Yeah.
Right. But it is more deadly in a way, and it's because it has a transmissibility rate of like 10 times or 100 times or whatever it is of the normal flu because of this gain of function. So like if you had the swine flu, which, you know, I caught and got me really sick, I was much sicker with the swine flu than I did with this obviously bout of COVID that I got, you know, in February, March or whatever. I was sicker with the swine flu, but the thing was, everybody didn't catch the swine flu, right? So this flu, even though it's not, maybe I was just lucky because, you know, maybe my immunity or I had some other coronavirus that gave me some like slight immunity. Don't get me wrong. You were sick. I was sick for like a month coughing, but, you know, if it has a gain of function, then everybody gets it. You know, you like if you, that's why you got to have masks. You got to be 6 to 10 feet away. You got to have real masks. You probably have to have N95 masks. I mean, it's almost impossible not to catch this dang thing. And that's why, you know, and this is probably, in my opinion, from all the research that I've done, is something that didn't have to happen. It was a man-made research that, you know, got let loose. And it looks like the United States was also involved in this gain of function research. So, you know, China, United States, neither one of them have completely clean hands from what I can see.
Now, not to mention the patents and everything else on it and everything else, now, all that stuff. Yeah.
Now, even if I'm wrong and it was really natural, I doubt it, but I mean, even if I'm wrong, we know we're doing all this research in the laboratories, you know, like Fort Detrick and Wuhan and all these places are doing all this weird biological. I mean, is this a good thing? Obviously, that kind of technology is really not going to help humanity. And, you know, with, I mean, I know you and I disagree probably on this, but I think we have massive overpopulation and it's only going to get worse. And that's why you got like the ocean where you sip a little bit of water and you're in the bathroom for like a month, you know, because, well, if you think about it, if there wasn't that many people there, they wouldn't, and things were cleaner, you know, you wouldn't have had that. We wouldn't have the oceans destroyed, you know, with all the garbage and stuff that we're doing.
Yeah. Well, the cenote is not an ocean, but it's, I get your point on what you're saying for sure on it. I do personally think that in terms of the lockdowns and quarantines and stuff like that, I don't agree with it. I think there could be better ways. And I think it's, I think also the hyping of the disease has actually caused some of the deaths personally.
I agree.
The psychosomaticism.
Did you know in Japan that more people died of suicide in October than they had of all the deaths reported for COVID-19 for the whole year?
Isn't that amazing right there? And so, I mean, it's sad. I mean, I know that's that itself is a pandemic in Japan, from my understanding, in terms of suicide.
Well, you know, so you lock people up. I agree with you totally. I think people should look. It should be voluntary. You should use your brain. If you're right. Older and you got like a whole bunch of underlying conditions, maybe you should shelter up, you know, and then wait for the vaccine and wait to see if the vaccine isn't killing everybody. And I'm not saying that it is. I know that people are working hard, you know, to try to come up with a safe vaccine, but it is a new technology. It's messenger RNA and it's never been used except for Ebola before. And I actually believe in a technology. You know, I've studied lots of science and I've read about this, and I was jokingly saying I'm studying microbiology, but I am, you know, reading about a lot of articles. I actually think that there's a high probability that this is either going to work really well, or in a year from now, you're going to find out people, you know, are going to have some issues and some people are going to get sick. Look, there's no vaccine that's 100%. You know, guaranteed not to get you sick, you know, but they have to look at the odds and say, if you're like 80 years old and you got an underlying condition, you know, you're better off taking the vaccine and having a higher chance of not dying from COVID and take the risk that you might get some side effects in a year because, you know, warp speed, push this thing out real quick. Or do you want to, you know, do you want to take the risk? You know, and I think each person should be free to choose what they want to
right.
do.
Right. You know, it's crazy, my personal feeling, but I mean, there's a lot of scientific evidence to suggest this in terms of the effectiveness of placebos anyways.
Right.
I really think you could come out here with a, if it was presented right, just as COVID has been presented, you know, in the media.
Right.
And I know I'm taking a sidestep on the show, but like, I think you could come out here with a saline shot and say, this is 100% effective. This is the best thing. It won't get you sick. This is going to prevent everything from happening to you. Da, da, da. I think you give that to people and you present it in such a way that is presented from an authoritative figure in the medical industry that is trusted and, you know, esteemed. I think it would be just as successful, if not more so successful. Plus there'd be, it's a placebo. Like,
I'll be honest with you, Chad. I don't agree with that. I know you've studied, this is the technology or the studies that you have that I'm not as adept in because I don't understand the placebo effect as well as you do. But I think that like if you've got like skin cancer and someone puts like, you know, olive oil on your skin and says it's going to go away and you believe it, I don't think it's going to go away.
Well, actually, so there's stuff with that. They have placebo surgeries, even where they've done where like if just an incision is made, but nothing's taken out, but they're told stuff is. And I mean, it's helped with osteoporosis, Parkinson's, which I mean, those are neurological disorders.
Right.
Or that's a neurological disorder. Osteoporosis isn't, but like,
well, we're going to agree to disagree because I'm not going to on this show tell people, oh, you know, don't worry about, you know, getting sick. You're not going to get sick because we're going to give you some fake saline solution. And look, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to be mean or anything about what you're saying. I believe there's a strong placebo effect but I just have a hard time personally believing that it's as strong as what you're saying. So, but let's not get off topic too much on that. I wanted to focus on the UFO
phenomenon
stuff and the technology and the planet dying and the phenomenon. So you were saying that at the end, it really hit you, man. That's.
Yeah, I actually got a little teary eyed just watching it for a second. Just like because it was so authentic and so tangible to what's going on right now and what's been going on for, God knows how many years, really. And it was interesting, man. And also, I found it very interesting in terms of the continual cover up that had been going on throughout the duration since the 40s and even before that, but especially after the 40s.
Right.
Where government officials were, you know, like you said, you got to pose with this fake weather balloon and say this is what it was. And, you know, you have to, you know, you didn't know nothing about it. If you say anything about it to people who are onlookers or just bystanders, if you say anything, we're going to destroy your career, all these other things. And I was actually pretty impressed with, was it Henry Reid or Harry Reid?
Harry Reid. Yeah. You know, he said something on that show that was kind of mind boggling. And I actually wrote it down and I, you know, cause I thought, you know, they asked him a question, you know, and he took a sip of his bottled water. It looked like he was in thought and didn't know how to answer the question. He was asking like, you know, so are you, it was asking him something like, did you, about all this information that the government has, do you think, you know, where do you think what's going on with it? He goes, I'm saying that most of it hasn't seen the light of day.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's after thousands of cases have been exposed too.
Well, yeah. So he started, you know, so he created that special group, right. And to study the UFOs and he had all this resistance, but you know why he probably got the resistance is because there are these deep state, in my opinion, like either CIA, Navy intelligence, you know, groups and maybe there's the MJ-12 or whatever, you know, maybe it's MJ, you know, 100 now or whatever, but they have
MJ or MK.
Majestic 12. It used to be, there was a group of people, you know, after with Truman, with the UFO in 47, that they all shit their pants and they created this Majestic group, a secret group of people to try to study this phenomenon. I mean, you know, this is what I believe and I've read and there's lots of evidence for, but I think what's probably gone on is that there's this group beyond like Congress, like with these black budgets where they, you know, where, you know, maybe a few select people know, and it's just, you know, they look at this as the most like deepest secrets because they're probably figuring out, well, we got aliens here. We tell the people they're all going to freak out. They're not going to listen to us anymore. We can't, what are we going to tell them? We can't control these things. You know, government wants people to believe that, you know, they're the ultimate power, but they're not. Mm-hmm. What about religion? You know, so the whole bunch of it is kind of goes back to that old Brookings report that I mentioned on one of the other shows where, you know, it's kind of like they're worried, like what's going to happen to humanity if they treat us like we treated the Indians, you know what I'm saying? And we're Native Americans. I'll use that word. Cause I know that, you know, I think they used the word Indians in the Brookings report, but in any case, you know, how we treated the Native Americans and, you know, and maybe the Native Americans aren't Native. Maybe it was Native, you know, small gray people who lived here first. So everybody assumes that they're Native, but there was always somebody before you. You know what I mean? There were dinosaurs. Mm-hmm. Maybe there was a Native dinosaur. So all property is kind of stolen. People just live on it and they try to control it and then they lose control, right. You know? And 100%. So So I think that maybe, you know, maybe the government's like, holy shit, you know, if they treat us like we treat the Native Americans, we're screwed. And so, you know, it's kind of a scary thing. So they want to hide it.
COVID.
Yeah. Yeah. They want to hide it. Now, so I have two questions. We're going to getting past the time. You know, we wanted to keep this around 40 minutes. So we got like maybe at most 5 minutes here. But what I wanted to ask you was two questions. And I kind of was talking about one is based upon this movie, right? Cause I'm interested in the ethics, morality, and the, you know, the evolution of mankind. I think that's really interesting from my science fiction writing. Where do you think humanity should be going or is going according to these kids that had this telepathic communication with these ants? Where is humanity currently going and where should it go? That's one question. And then I'll ask you the second one after you answer that one.
Well, you know, like for shoulds, I don't want to ever tell anybody what they should, but I will say what I feel would be best on it. And I really think we're seeing it right now. We're seeing both sides play out right now. And the side kind of like, I mean, you know, even darkness is over the light, you know, but like, so not to kind of say it's, you know, them and us kind of a thing, but like, or darkness versus light, uh-huh. But like, I feel there's a side moving towards environmental sustainability, responsible technological advancements, a realization of a oneness within all of us, realization that we're all extensions and expressions of the same source.
Right.
Whatever we want to call that, love, light, God, source, anything, the universe, whatever fits somebody's parameters of what's acceptable language to use for that. Mm-hmm. I feel like a push towards education, a push towards a healthy lifestyle that's empowered to defend and think and believe for themselves, right, as well as responsible creativity.
Right.
This heartfelt creativity, authentic right. creativity. Mm-hmm. And so I feel there's this giant push for that. And like, I see it in so many friends, so many family members, so many communities popping up across this world. And it's just not getting the airtime that the other stuff is. Right. And then there's the other stuff that's pushing towards division and conquest and parasitism and, you know, it's really like a virus of humanity in essence, in many right. ways, a dilapidation of spirituality. And so we're having both of those things, you know, wars, famines, things of that nature going out there, poverty, people on the streets in front of vacant homes, all these other things going on. And so I feel like there is already a push for where, you know, humanity, and this is air quotes, where humanity should be going. And we're going there already. And then there's that other side of it too. And really, I feel it's, we need to pick up a little steam over on that side though. We need to get a little more momentum going, you know, a little more personal responsibility in all of our lives. It's one thing to be like, oh yeah, we're all one. This is our all expression of the same thing.
Yeah.
But then the minute somebody cuts me off in traffic, I'm like, I'm gonna rip that dude's head off.
Right.
I'm gonna treat that motherfucker like a Pez dispenser. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But you know what I think when you're becoming, I think like people become more spiritual, and everybody has their own definition of spiritual, but I think the golden rule is good. Treat others as you'd want to be treated, you know, try to do like acts of kindness without expecting something in return, you know, because everybody wants something in return. And if we can actually have this, you know, true acts of kindness without expecting things in return, we'll make the planet a better place. But, you know, I was thinking recently, it's going to sound a little crazy, but like, because I have a son, right? I have a 6-year-old boy. And, you know, you have this like love that goes beyond like judgment, you know, non-judgmental love. I think what we have to do as a society, as we evolve, is, I mean, it's going to sound crazy, but if you treat other people like who may not be as spiritually evolved as like children trying to learn, you know what I mean? Rather than thinking of them as some evil goon trying to like rip you off or beat you up or whatever, just say, they're just not there yet. You know, they're just not there spiritually. They're like children learning. And rather than getting angry, you know, you don't get really too angry. I mean, people do get angry at their kids, but you know, you, with your child, you try to teach him more, you know, you try to be patient. You try to have this, you know, unbiased, you know, I don't know if it's what the right word is, but non-judgmental, you know, love for somebody and just try to educate them. So I think if in humanity we can, you know, when someone tries to rip you off at the, you know, car rental counter, rather than getting all furious and threatening to call the cops, which I think you and I have both been there recently, right? You know what I'm saying? We were talking about this the other day, right? You know, when they're trying to rip you off. The rental office, when they give you a car that like blows up, like that's what happened to you, right? You got a car in Mexico and then and you had to argue with them. And as soon as you get the car, it like breaks down in the middle of the jungle or something, you know.
Like, I was on my way to the jungle, but it didn't make it that far.
You're probably lucky it didn't break down in the jungle. Right?
Oh man, the jaguars are nothing to mess with.
Now I know we're just about out of time here, but last question, I think I was kind of answering that on my thoughts, but why do you think that the governments, it looked like every government, including the Australian government, you know, they threaten people and they say, you didn't see what you saw. You didn't see the little green men. You didn't see the UFO. And we're gonna throw you in jail. We're going to say that you were drunk. We're going to take your teaching certificate, your engineering mm-hmm. certificate. We're going to, you know, why do you think there's this coordinated effort? It almost seems like, you know, like there's this international, like, you know, group, maybe probably run by the United States would be my guess, you know, threatening everybody to keep this stuff secret and whatnot. What do you think that, why do you think that's going on?
In terms of why, I think it's, it goes down to power and control and, or the,
Chad, you're going to laugh because I could probably show you what I wrote down. I wrote two words and I put a slash in between them.
I said, power control.
Power / control.
Oh man. Well, you're a good teacher, man, you know. So
well, I don't know if I taught you that, but nah. Yeah. So why are people so wrapped up in power and control that they're willing to like destroy the planet, lie to society, you know, about like, you know, about something like that? What they just, you're the psych guy, you know, tell me what is in human psyche that's got them that screwed up that they're willing to destroy people, the planet, and create an unhealthy lifestyle just for power and control?
Well, you know, I think, you kind of hit it on the head when you're speaking about with unconditional love for your children and thinking about people just in terms of, you know, okay, they're learning right now. That's what it is. And, you know, our natural state is peace. Our natural state is love is utopian as that may sound. I mean, it's 100% true. You know, it's what it is. And like the further we are away from that peace and the further we are away from that love, the greater the disturbance. And people can get themselves so far away for whatever reasons. You know, there's a lot of things that happen in life. And then there's a lot of things where people just make choices that are short-sighted and self-serving. And, it, you know, like this basically is people, it's out of control egos, you know, like this idea that a self-imposed hierarchy in humanity, that the more people I control, the more people I have acquiescent to what I say or whatever else, the more powerful I am. That means the more access to resources I have or abundance I have and things of that nature.
Right.
And it's so short-lived. And so like, I mean, really it was funny because I got this, like, as I was watching the movie last night, like, you know, like people play like cops and robbers growing up as kids or, you know, like all these other things. Really, like, it's so funny, but like, really, that's all they've continued to do is play a game, just with bigger, more dangerous toys, more people are involved in the game. But at the end of the day, it's still a game. And like, the thing I think, in terms of a humanity, I think you were right on 100% in terms of no judgment, but at the same time, there is discernment and there is self-defense.
Right.
And
right.
there is also the realization of we've been conditioned to believe that we're weak. We've been conditioned to believe that we're dangerous. And the minute we take responsibility for our health, our actions, our self-defense, right. and not rely on somebody else, and then can begin with individual, then it branch out from the community and then go from there. And whatever we want to call a community, whether it be community earth, or even community solar system or whatever it is, like we can go along those lines and be fine, but it has to take, it starts with starting at home. And then also the realization that like the people who are yielding or attempting to yield power, wield power on people right now right. and control on people is such a small group. It's like the smallest, it's like probably less people than went to my high school. you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
We're trying to have world control and domination.
Well, you know what I was thinking about power and control? People only get power and control when you allow them to take power and control over
100%
you.
Right.
So
100%.
I think that like, we're not, you know, someone said to me, I was talking to somebody and it was my dentist and she was like from Pakistan and we're talking about all the countries at war, like how India and Pakistan are at war. And I'm like, yeah, it's, you know, war has been popular for thousands of years. I don't think people are going to get along for a little bit longer. She said, well, how long do you think? I said, I don't know, a couple thousand years. And she just looked at me. Did you say a couple thousand years? I said, yeah. I said, you got to look at the long-term plans of things, my friend, you know, you're expecting too much. But if you don't start eating that elephant piece by piece now, it'll take a billion years to eat that elephant. I mean, everything that we can do, like whether it's be our writing, whether it be your books or the people that we interact with or the counter, you know, at the rental car shop that we want to, you know, scream and complain. I mean, if every day we can find ways to be, you've said this before, but I don't know the exact words, but be the change that we want to see in the world. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think I got that from Gandhi, actually.
Oh, well, all right. Well, that's a good one. But
I'll take credit for it, I'm pretty sure that was Mahatma.
But, you know, yeah. So on that note, I mean, we're basically done with this podcast. I want to say that James Fox, who did that phenomenal, I give him an A+ on that movie. I highly recommend it. You do too, right? If you had to give it A, B, C, D, E, and an A+, what would you give it an A+ too?
Oh, A+, 100%. It was phenomenal. It was phenomenally done. It was engaging. It was well researched. It was well supported. Cinematically, it was really well done.
Yeah.
Everything was.
He spent like 7 years, by the way, just to let you know. I was listening on a podcast that the guy was talking about it. Took him like 7 years. They had all kinds of infighting. They were running out of money. I mean, you're doing a TV show. You probably know a little bit about money and fighting and trying to get a show, right? You've seen that before, right?
I've seen things before, man. You know, actually, what's interesting on that, you saying it was 7 years, though, is like what I was also really impressed with is how current it is. Like it had already gone into the Trump administration.
Yeah.
It brought in information and research and things going on all the way up till, you know, relatively current events.
Yeah. No, totally. Yeah.
Yeah. You don't see that very often with something of this substantial nature. Like no. That was impressive.
No, I loved it. I think everybody should watch it. And I think the spiritual points that were at the end was very salient for this planet that's, you know, in the planet, pandemic planet, we should call this place, the pandemic planet, you know. But Chad, I really enjoyed having you on these other episodes and having you as a co-host. And I want to thank you. You know, I'm going to focus on, you know, just like I said, on the science fiction and interview people. And it was fun having Hayes on last week. I think not the other week, not last week, but a couple of weeks ago on the Hayes experience for his UFO experience. But
when he gets out of the FEMA camp, man, you should see if you can get him back.
I'm going to talk to Hayes, you know. Well, Chad, I want to sincerely thank you for being on the show. And I look forward to watching your TV show next year. Or this year.
Thanks, bro.
Or it's next year. Next year, right? Next year in 2021.
Yeah, 2021, man. Well, I appreciate everything too, man. And I couldn't thank you enough, man. Always, always a ton of fun too. So I can't thank you enough for everything, Tony. Thank you, bro.
All right, Chad. We're done with this show. And thanks for the listeners. Take care, everyone. Goodbye.
All right.